to the graphic nature of this program, listener discretion is advised.
Welcome to episode 8 of the Virosis Clothing Podcast, the official podcast of Virosis Clothing. As always, I'm joined by CJ. How are you?
Buenos dias.
Marvellous. And I've got a special guest for this Christmas episode, Mr. James Goldsworthy returns. How are you, mate?
Guten Tag.
Wow.
Well, I'm just going with the,
I like you've carried on the theme there. Absolutely. That's good. I feel like I need to come up with more of an international greeting to this episode. I feel like I'm letting the side
down. You could
down.
Go for like regional dialects in the UK. Can you go, afternoon?
Hello there, my lover.
Yeah, absolutely. Why not?
Maybe I'll try it.
We just lost all three lost listeners in Cornwall.
Yeah. No stereotypes here. Happy to announce that virosisclothing.com has a brand new store. You'll find all our designs on there. Everything is now organically printed and made, which is awesome. So that's virosisclothing.com/online-store. On there, you'll find two new designs. There's the core design, which is a brand new t-shirt with an urban camo design. And newly launched is our first long sleeve, which is the Infernal long sleeve. So check those out as well.
Coming up, we have the Draft Relentless Christmas Dinner Edition, which James is going to join us for, where we're going to take 15 popular Christmas dinner items and draft a Christmas dinner, surprisingly. No plot twist. I'm not M. Night Shyamalan. We also have music from 1054 Records, Brazil's latest export, called Effing Violence. Now, they are called something a bit stronger than that, but I'm not going to say it because my mum will slap me. So we have a track from them coming up. We have an interview with wrestler Dave Lyon. And we also have a Gurn update for you. A few episodes ago, we did our Earn the Gurn Top 5. And we thought we'd just keep that going by adding another nominee to that list.
On a previous episode, we launched our hashtag Earn the Gurn campaign. This is where we've picked songs or elements of songs that just give us that gurn in the face, really get you going. We picked our top five, and you can go back and check that out. But we've had some additions, as some new tracks have come out. So for me personally, I've chosen this section from the new album from Fit for an Autopsy. This is from this track, Birds of Prey. It's just an awesome, like, fast part of the song, which just really brings the beard out.
That's a cool track. My Earn the Gurn extra nominee is one that nearly made my list last time, but I want to put it in this time. And that's the intro slash outro riff from a song called 43% Burn by the Dillinger Escape Plan. Massive pioneers, obviously, in metalcore, what you call it, what you like, mathcore, and geography core. But this riff is just amazing. And if anyone can work out the time signature, let us know.
Do you reckon if Steve Jobs was in a band, it'd be Applecore?
Hey!
It's Christmas. Not bringing out those cracker jokes.
Okay, boomer.
What is a boomer?
Your parents.
Is that what a boomer
Our
is?
Parents.
Like baby boomer.
Yeah. It's a new thing amongst youngsters. I think they call them Generation Z now. Their latest insult to anyone who has an idea that's basically different to theirs or seems old-fashioned is to go, okay, boomer. Like we used to go, all right, granddad.
Yeah.
Ah, okay.
Yeah,
I'm so down with the kids. Next up, we have an interview with my good friend, musician, and now wrestler, Mr. Dave Lyon. So I'm here with Dave Lyon. How you doing, dude? You all right?
Yeah, good, man. Yourself?
So we've known each other for, since what, 2004?
Yeah.
I think we worked in the Virgin Megastore.
Yeah, Virgin Megastore, wasn't it? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Savvy's still online, right?
Yeah, still online, but then, I don't know. Lord knows whatever happened after we left, man, to be honest.
That's true. Well, that's probably why it closed down, right?
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Yeah, they lost two of the best members of staff they ever had.
Absolutely, the metal section was the best kept metal section ever.
Oh, without a question of a doubt. And you could literally probably find the most obscure thing you wanted because yeah, we were ordering it all the time.
So what are you doing music-wise at the moment?
Just in a two-piece with Matt. We're doing 700th Unicorn. Just us two, really. Drums and guitar. I split my signal between my guitar amp and a bass amp to fill out that low end. I use like a POG octave pedal as well, so it really gives that fat low end sound. That's all I'm doing, really. Like, I've kind of chopped it from 100 bands just down to one.
I was going to say, you're always known for playing in a lot of different bands.
yeah. It got a bit too much. As I got older, more responsibilities come along.
So just for our listeners, who are some of your favourite bands?
Black Sabbath, 100%. Like, my body's emblazoned with so many Black Sabbath tattoos. It's unbelievable. So, Motorhead. People like Iron Monkey and a lot of the Doom Sludge side of things are bands that I've always loved and wanted to not emulate as such, but just kind of that's what influenced me the most musically, is that real big, sludgy, bluesy sort of sound. Yeah, that's pretty much. But like, there's a lot of love for like hardcore and punk and stuff like that as well. So I just try and merge all of that together.
What has been some of your favourite albums this year?
To be honest, I'm really bad at catching up with new music. I'm definitely one that I'll go to listen to a new album and then go, I'm just going to stick on volume 4 and stuff like that.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, so to be honest, I find it really hard to, especially like with work and everything else, just to sit down and listen to a new album. And then when I get in the gym, it's the same thing. It's just a gym playlist that I'll play that is mainly got Black Sabbath on it, to be honest. So it's like.
So you mentioned there about you being busy over the last few months.
Yeah.
So yeah, what have you been up to?
Well, I've always been a lover of professional wrestling, like ever since I was a kid. Like, I remember 1994, Royal Rumble 1994. So I'd have been bloody hell. Young, anyway. I sat down and watched the Rumble, and then that was it. I was in love with it, and I've always loved it. And it's something that I've, as a kid, we've all done it. Oh, we're wrestling in the front room or in the back garden or whatever. And then obviously started playing music, so it never really thought any more of it. And I got to the age of 30, and I thought, do you know what? I'm going to give it a go. So yeah, I've started professional wrestling.
That's amazing. Yeah! How did you sort of go about even finding out where to start?
To be honest, the internet. I literally just Googled it and I was like, is it possible? I knew obviously British wrestling had become pretty big in the last 5 years. So I knew there was going to be more options available than when I was a kid. But I didn't know. So I just Googled it. And how wrestling schools, I knew you had to go to wrestling school to train and whatever else. So yeah, I Googled and a lot came up, to be fair. And then, yeah, I picked one and just went from there, really. Just emailed them, see how you go about it. And basically they were doing like a beginner's course as well, which was quite handy. So I wasn't like, chuck me straight in at the deep end. So yeah, I'd done this 6-week beginner's course, which taught me all the basics, And then they kind of, there you go, you've passed that, you're out into the big wide world of professional wrestling. And then, yeah, just there's so many schools and different training places about that you can kind of, you could train every night of the week if you wanted to. There's that many options available, which is really good to learn and to hone your skills, essentially, really. Like, it's good.
How sort of far are you at the moment? What have you been up to?
So I've been doing it. It's coming up to my second year of doing it now. I've wrestled on shows, wrestling tomorrow, actually, in Coventry for a company, which I'm one half of their tag team champions at the moment. So
I did see that. That is pretty cool.
Yeah,
to be a tag
yeah.
team champion.
Yeah, it's cool. Like, I didn't know until I got there on the day that I was going to be the champ. So that was really cool. Like, yeah, it was quite nice to find out. But yeah, and I'm still learning, man. Like, I'm still, it's the same. It's pretty, there's a lot of it that is very similar to being in bands and playing music. In terms of networking, social media side of things, the practicing as well. You've got to practice to be good at it, essentially. And then obviously you've got the performance side of things as well, which is similar, but I don't have a guitar to hide behind. To be honest, I've not really got many clothes to hide behind as well either, to be fair. So that's...
It's funny you say that, actually, because I often describe starting Virosis as a bit like being in a band. You have to realise that, you know, you're not going to do it in a week. It is very much a marathon, not a sprint. There are different elements you have to learn. And it's funny how being in a band actually gives you a lot of good skills, I think, for other things. Like networking, like being on time, being respectful.
Yeah.
Especially when you're like a local scene. If you're not going to be respectful and turn up, be on time, and obviously, like you say, practice and play well, then no one's going to book you to play.
Yeah, so much, man, so much. Like, and like you said, it is definitely that it's not a sprint, because, like I said, when I went into it, I didn't have a clue what I was. Well, I knew what I wanted to do, but I didn't know how to achieve that. So when I first started, it was like, ah, right, now this makes sense. So I've got to do that stepping stone to get to that stepping stone. And like you said, it is like being in a band, that you translate that into other aspects of your life. And it's, to be honest, yeah, being in bands has helped loads, especially with this journey that I'm on now. It is that, like you said, you be respectful to everyone, and you just be sound. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
because if you're not going to get anywhere. You get days, especially like in a band, you know, when you're trying to learn a song or you're at practice and you're just not feeling it. You just can't get into that zone. You have the same sort of days in professional wrestling. You get to training and you're like, I just can't nail this tonight. I don't know what's wrong. But whereas previously, when I first started being in bands or whatever, you'd beat yourself up about it and you'd be like, oh, man. Now I've gone through that process of doing that. I'm able to look back and go, no, I remember when that happened last time and I got over it. So I'm able to apply that now and be like, no, do you know what? It's just a little stumbling block. We'll get over it and we'll move on. And yeah, touch wood, every time so far, I've managed to get over little obstacles that have come up and kind of crack on forward.
So if there was one piece of advice you could go back, 2 years and tell yourself, what piece of advice would it be?
Stop smoking.
Okay.
Because I haven't smoked for 2 years now.
Oh, wow.
And, I used to smoke quite heavily. And since doing this, obviously, I can't be a professional wrestler and smoke. It doesn't work. Do you know what I mean? For me and this wrestling journey, I would have liked to have done it earlier, I think. Because obviously, you can't take, like, you can't change time. Do you know what I mean? You can't move the clock back. There's only so much being banged about and being beaten up that I can do. Do you know what I mean? I definitely feel it sometimes. I'll get up in the morning and be like, oh, Christ, my back, my shoulders, my legs. So if I'd have done it a lot younger, I'd have probably just bounced back up and be like, yeah, let's go. But
how often do you have matches?
at the moment, I'm pretty much every weekend. That's the goal, is I'm trying to get... Basically, when I started, I'd set myself little goals, so I keep ticking it off and keep achieving. So like my first lot of goals was just to get on show, just to have a show, to have a match on a show. So when I done that, I was like, oh, sweet, right, what's my next lot of goals? And my next lot of goals was to have 5 matches. So when I had 5 matches, I was like, sweet, I'm getting there. And then my next goal after that was have 1 match every month. And I done that. And now my goal is to get at least 1 match every weekend throughout the year. And I'm on course to achieving that. So yeah, it's kind of just ticking them boxes as you go. So obviously some months are lighter than other months. It's the same as playing gigs. Just for some reason, some months you don't have any gigs, and it's like, oh, okay, I don't know what happened there, but we'll move on to the next one.
So do you have a finishing move?
Yeah, actually, I didn't get it from The Undertaker, but I used the Tombstone.
Okay.
As my finisher. And I'm a big fan of Fit Finlay, the wrestler. He's from Belfast. And his sort of style is the style that I try and do myself. So like kind of a bit of a bruiser, hard hitting sort of thing. And when he used to wrestle in WCW, his finish was the Tombstone. And I was like, I wonder if I could do that. But again, just kind of passed it off. I was like, no, that's fine. I'm not going to do the Tombstone. That's just silly. And then I had a match with someone, and I don't mean to break everyone's dreams of professional wrestling, but we do sort of plan stuff backstage. the guy was like, what's your finish? And I was like, Tombstone? Just threw it out there. And he was like, yeah, fine. So yeah, ever since then, that's kind of... That's been
nice.
It. It's been the Tombstone.
Oh, that's awesome, because The Undertaker's always been my favourite. The Tombstone is just such a cool move.
Yeah, it looks so good. And it's, if you do it right, it's relatively safe, but it just looks pretty devastating. You're essentially dropping someone on their head, and it's like, yeah, I could see why that would hurt. Do you know what I mean?
We had, on the last show, we did a top five, which we do every other show. Yeah. And we had to pick 5 wrestlers to start a 5-a-side football team with.
Very nice.
So
very nice.
If you had to do the same, who's the first 5 that come to mind for you?
In goal, if you're playing in 5-a-side goals, it's got to be Yokozuna, isn't it, really?
That's funny, yeah. I went with the Big Show for the same reason.
Yeah, you ain't going to get past them in that. That's a tough one, you know. To be honest, as captain, I know I'm just going straight in for the captain. It'd have to be a toss up between The Rock and Stone Cold as the captain. Just because both of them, I'd listen to the pair of them if they were my captains. You know what I mean? I'd do anything they told me to do. But yeah, I'd have them both in the team, definitely. I'd probably have Stone Cold as a striker, just because he could just sit up the top and just shout at people. And he was all right kicking people in the gut, wasn't he, for a stunner. So it might
he was,
be
he was pretty good.
Yeah, it might be all right just kicking it in the back of the net, really. I'd have The Rock as the midfielder, like the Cristiano Ronaldo type. Do you know what I mean? That sort of. How many have I got there? 3. So I need 2 more. Oh, I'll tell you what, in the last 2, you'd have to have Triple H in there as well, wouldn't you? Maybe. Yeah. Because he's solid, isn't he? He's solid and he's pretty clever. Like, he's done a lot behind the scenes in wrestling. So I'd have him as centre-back, just watching the whole game. And then you just need someone quick, wouldn't you? So, like, someone like X-Pac or someone like that. Just someone quick, nipping around, picking the ball up.
No, yeah, that's a good team. That's
yeah,
good
let's team. Go with them 3, I reckon. Them 5, yeah. Even.
No, that's a real good team. Awesome, dude. Well, again, thanks ever so much for coming on the show.
That's
and
right,
taking time out to speak to us. By the time this goes out, it will be just before Christmas, part of our Christmas sort of episode. Do you know what upcoming shows you'll have?
I'm just trying to figure. I've got one. The last one of the year is on the 21st of December. And that's in Coventry for CPW. Me and my tag team partner, Dredd, will be defending our tag titles. We're not sure who against yet. We are defending them, but we don't know who against.
I didn't ask, actually. What's your tag team's name?
We are the 666 pack.
So good.
because I've got the Iron Monkey tattoo on my neck, the 666 logo. So when we first decided the tag team, I messaged Dredd. I was like, look, what about this for a tag team name? And he was like, yeah, sweet, let's call it that then. And then I went to training a couple of nights later, and we were saying what to the guys, like just asking people, what do you reckon? It's a bit like same as band names, like what do you reckon to this band name? And one of the lads was like, yeah, I really like it. He's like, and you've really gone far to get it tattooed on your neck already. I was like, oh my God. But mate, no, that's been there years. Don't worry about that.
Oh, amazing. All right, dude. Well, if people want to find you on social media,
yeah,
how do they find you?
We've got a 666 pack page. So it's Facebook/666pack, as in the numbers, not spell it out. Currently, I don't actually have a wrestling social media, but I will within the next month or so. It's just kind of in the midst of logos being done and everything else that you need to do with social media to make it look good. So yeah, once that's done, I'll put a link on the 666 pack page and it'll all be up and running. Because I've only got a personal one at the moment. So
okay, cool.
I've got bands as well, the 700th Unicorn Facebook page, and we've got music and stuff on there as well.
Great stuff. All right, dude. Well, all it leaves me to say is have an amazing Christmas.
You too, man. You too.
Thanks again. It's great to speak to you again. And we'll have to have a proper catch up soon.
Now it's time for our featured 1054 Records artist, Effing Violence from Brazil. This track is called Hard Times. They are basically formed out of the ashes of a band called Worst, so some of you may be familiar with Worst, also worth checking out. Good crossover hardcore metal. And this song is on their latest album. You can find this on the 1054 website and also through 1054's Facebook, spelt 1054. You can find them on Facebook at FV Hardcore, and you can also find them on Instagram at FUCKING Violence Hardcore. Check it out.
Forget. This is my last time. When I was lost, drowning in my madness, you never dealt for me. I had to fight for everything I had, because nothing came easy for me. I had no option, I had to prevail. I don't give up in this living hell. My own mistakes made me who I am. One step forward. Day by day, this is not the end. Day by day, it's not the end. Day by day, it's not the end.
And that was Effing Violence from Brazil. Massive thanks to Pete from 1054, for, as always, for his support and supplying the track. And we'll have another new track next month. Now, it's time for some festive drafting.
All right, Mavericks. Ready to see what you're fighting today? The Executioners come to town.
So here we go. For those of you who have not heard this feature before, we have 15 popular Christmas dinner items, and we are all going to take in turns to choose one item each to form our perfect Christmas dinner. So the items are turkey, stuffing, pigs in blankets, cranberry sauce, gravy, roast potatoes, sprouts, broccoli, carrots, parsnips, Yorkshire puddings, cabbage, cauliflower, mince pies, and Christmas pudding. So James is our guest. James is going to get to go first. What would you choose for the first item on your plate, sir?
I feel that any of my family and friends that listen to this, and I don't say this first, they'll know there's something wrong. So pigs in blankets all the way.
Oh, choice.
All the way. Put it this way, the in-laws at Christmas, they do an extra tray of pigs in blankets just for me.
Correct.
You can't go wrong with pigs in blankets. They're so good.
You can if you leave them in the oven for like an hour. And you can break glass with them.
In one of the popular cheap German supermarkets, they do like a massive spiral of pig and blanket.
Oh,
it's like a massive like Cumberland sausage, but it's one continuous row of pigs and blankets. It's
wicked.
It's amazing.
Information.
That is my Christmas dinner. That and a bit of gravy. I'm not having anything else.
Nice.
Job done. Brilliant.
Okay.
G-Man, you go next.
Well, in that case then, it makes my life a whole lot easier because I will take turkey.
Predictable.
What can I say? I think it's been known on previous episodes of this podcast that the meat treats are always at the forefront of my mind. And yeah, you can't go wrong with turkey. I don't know what else to say other than that.
Fair play. Well, for my first round pick, I'm going to pick what I would have picked had I gone first anyway in order to scupper yours two's Christmas dinners, and that's gravy. Because you're going to have the driest Christmas dinner on the planet, and I'm going to have gravy.
Good show.
Okay, right. So I'm going to go for roast potatoes.
That's a good plate.
I say yours is shaping up nicely.
One of the advantages of going first.
Nice.
And anyway, you've gobbled up all the turkey.
Hey. Fantastic. All right, well, awesome. Well, to me, the natural accompaniment to turkey, which is known in my family as the Christmas jam, is cranberry sauce. So if I can't have gravy, I'm definitely not missing out on cranberry sauce.
I bet you have pineapple on pizza, don't you?
I don't mind pineapple on pizza.
What's wrong with you?
Nothing.
See, I can't stand pineapple on pizza, but I love cranberry sauce.
Do you?
Yeah. It's got to be done.
I'm not a fan. I just don't... Meat and fruit together, just don't... Like pork and apple sauce.
You're not a fan of jam and protein?
Man. No, I'm not.
I don't know, it takes a normal meal and just makes it more spectacular.
Except
10x's
pineapple,
dinner.
Which has the texture of corrugated cardboard.
Pineapple versus cranberry sauce. The great debate at these highly political times in our lives.
Tweet us like hashtag cranberry sauce or hashtag pineapple.
Firmly in team cranberry.
Yeah, me too.
Excellent. Well, okay, so that leaves me with, I'm going to go for broccoli. No, stuffing. I'm going to go for stuffing.
Damn it, I thought I got away with
it. I love stuffing. All the jokes in the world are available. Which I shall hereby avoid. But I do enjoy stuffing. I'd actually happily have a plate of like a big spiral pig in blanket, so a farm of pigs in a farm of blankets, and loads of gravy and stuffing. I'll be as happy as a pig in blankets.
No, likewise, I would just eat stuffing on its own.
I love the fact that you think blankets come from farms. It's great.
Well, they do.
Uncomfortable silence. The tumbleweed flies through the room. And there we go.
So your third choice is tumbleweed, James.
Yes, indeed. Appreciate on my plate is a little bit dry. Although it has to be said, if you're doing pigs in blankets properly, then they should still be nice and succulent. So, anyway.
All right, Delia.
I'm going to go for... I'm going to go for...
Orangutan?
No.
Uvavu.
Uvavu. I think I'll go for the humble carrot. A little bit of veg. A bit of moisture. A bit of colour on the plate.
See in the dark.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'm pleased you chose carrot because that leaves my preferred vegetable on the list, which is the parsnip.
Oh.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh. I am concerned about you.
I hate those.
Really?
They are the Marmite of root vegetables.
Parsnips are savage.
Yeah.
You're right, they are savage, but in a bad way.
If there was a mosh pit, right, just full of vegetables, then the parsnip. The parsnip is the dude in the Slayer t-shirt in the middle.
Are you saying that Slayer fans are root vegetables?
No, I'm not saying that, CJ, at all. I'm simply saying, of the vegetable, they are the most brutal. If vegetables were like people and had a fight, the parsnip would be the one no one wants
to
mess with.
I've got this fabulous image of you, like, in a darkened alley, sharpening a parsnip to
that's what vegans use as shivs. It's not toothbrushes or hairbrushes, it's a well-cooked parsnip. It's done many a damage.
Brilliant. Well, that leaves me with broccoli, which I'll happily take. I enjoy broccoli. Not only because, like, if you get bored with the Christmas dinner, you can make it into little trees. You make like a little sort of scene on your plate with the pig in the blanket hiding underneath the
bonsai tree.
Yeah, exactly. Full of protein, good for you, obviously. But I actually quite enjoy broccoli.
I don't like the stems.
I like the stems. I do eat it because it's good for you, but
you've got to steam it, though. That's the secret.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone boils all their vegetables. You've got to steam it. Steam
all right, Delia.
Crispy broccoli. Beautiful.
How many have I had? Three, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I've got two left. Right, so I'm going to go for... See, I'm so tempted by Brussels sprouts because, well, it's just entertaining, really. Particularly the morning after, but I think actually to round off my the savoury side of my dinner, I'm going to go for Yorkshire puddings. Oh. I think, yeah, Yorkshire pudding, definitely.
Yeah, Yorkshire puddings are amazing. I'm just putting it out there. In terms of the draft, that's like a steal. That could have easily been a first round pick that's gone deep in the third round.
Mm.
That's one that analysts will look back on in 5 years' time when it's in the Vegetable Hall of Fame and be like, it was picked third. That's a steal.
Except for this steal. Is the fourth round because that's my fourth pick.
Well, the fourth
round. And it's not a vegetable.
Yeah.
Apart from that, that was a bang on statement.
Brilliant. Well, you've got left sprouts, cabbage, cauliflower, mince pies, and Christmas pudding.
No, I've got left a list of options, none of which I'm a massive fan of. So now I'm struggling. Oh, no. See, this is like the business end of the draft, isn't it? I'm going to have to go with the cabbage for no other reason. It's just the lesser of five evils. At least I can douse it in Christmas jam
and make it edible. Again, you've got to get it right, though. You've got to boil it very quickly for a short period of time so it's still crispy. Yeah. Soggy cabbage is a no-no. But...
Yeah. I like it in curries. But I don't like it on its own. So I'll have to, just douse it in Christmas jam and eat it with the turkey.
Fair play.
To get through it.
Well, for my fourth round pick, I can see you two obviously building towards, some kind of course system with some kind of pudding at the end. So I'm going to scupper your pudding plans by drafting Christmas pudding. I don't even like it, but...
nor do I. You can have it.
Just to deny the opportunity for someone to make a complete meal with either turkey or whatever, then I'm gonna take Christmas pudding and then not eat it.
Don't like dried fruit. It's just weird. I just don't like, I start a taste of it.
The good thing about Christmas pudding is you can use it as an offensive weapon. Because normally, if it's been heated to the degree that you could probably melt through concrete with it, and not the penny in the middle has been heated up properly.
Again, if you were to put that as a band, it's almost like the Rammstein of the Christmas minute. You just put it on fire. It's just constant fire. Parsnip's the mosher of the group. The Christmas pudding is the pyromaniac.
Well, I'll happily set fire to mine and just watch it burn.
I'd set fire to it, throw out the window. I don't like it. It's horrible.
Well, actually, I'm not too bothered that you've done that because I like mince pies and Christmas puddings in equal measure. So actually, it hasn't affected my plan at all. So I'm going to go for mince pies just for a sweet end to my list.
A sweet end to your palate.
That was very Rob Newman, the way you did that.
Was it?
Yeah.
Okay.
You're like in History Today.
Yeah, yeah.
That was a sweet end to my list.
Okay, fair enough. Well, the good thing about a mince pie is you can have it cold, you can have it warmed up, bit of cream.
Or ice cream.
A bit of ice cream, see, yeah.
I'm not a fan of mince pies, but I have had one warmed up, but with ice cream, and it was actually quite nice.
Presley, the homemade variety.
Yeah, homemade mince pies are better than shop-bought mince pies. Something I've been reliably told more than once.
Oh, I don't eat them, or Christmas pudding. I don't have pudding at Christmas.
You just burn them.
I just burn them.
You're reenacting the live Rammstein gig by setting them on fire. Nice. Okay.
Well, you're left with cauliflower sprouts, old boy.
Oh, geez, that's not much of a choice, is it?
Well, it's a very simple choice.
You reckon?
Yeah.
Well, I've got, because, okay, it became a bit of a tradition in our house where you had to have a Brussels sprout was always smuggled onto your plate.
Well, like the cheese and onion rolls.
Yeah, it infiltrated your plate. It was the James Bond of the vegetables, and it just appeared, and it became like a bit of a Christmas thing. You had to find the Brussels sprout. So it brings back good family memories. So with that, and the fact, because of that, I learned how to swallow one whole, like a pill, to get through it. I'm going to go with Brussels sprout.
Oh, shock choice.
Because I really, really don't like cauliflower.
Really?
Nah, it's just the texture of it.
Yeah, but that's one of those. If you overcook it, it's horrible. But when it's like steamed or something, it's
yeah, nice. You've got to steam it with your broccoli. Exactly the same cooking time, pretty much.
Oh, idealia. But with a sprout, like I say, I can swallow that whole thing in half. Yeah, cut it in half, swallow two halves, or even if it's not too big, swallow the whole thing.
There was
love of your private life.
Don't spit it out. You always swallow it.
Excellent. So, your dish, recite your plate.
Pigs in blanket, roast potatoes, carrots,
Cuddly-toy.
Yorkshire puddings, and mince pies. The best plate out of all three.
What did you end up with?
That's pretty decent. I got turkey, cranberry sauce.
Dry turkey.
No, because I got cranberry sauce.
Dry cranberry sauce.
Pineapple, parsnips, Brussels sprouts.
Which you chose. I mean, people are in shock.
And what else did I choose? I've already forgotten. We'll edit this. I'll go back. What did I choose? Turkey, cranberry sauce, parsnips. Oh, cabbage.
Cabbage and Brussels. Okay. Oh, that is going to be one smelly household.
Okay. I am not the person you want to wake up with the next day.
I won't be coming around to yours the day after, I can assure you.
That is a cocktail of flatulence right there.
I think I ended up with stuffing, gravy, broccoli, cauliflower and Christmas pudding. All on the same plate.
Well, you know, at least you got your five a day in there.
That's very true. And a flammable missile. Playing Rammstein.
The Molotov cocktail of the pudding world.
Excellent. So, yeah, send us a DM, send us a message. Let us know what you would have chosen and who you thought was best.
Mine. Wow. Thanks for joining us on this episode. It just leaves me to say, have a Merry Christmas wherever you are in the world. Thank you for listening and we'll see you soon.
This podcast was recorded at Purple Gooseberry Studio. Our thanks as ever to James and Sarah for lending us the facility.
And wherever you find yourself, wherever you may be, always emerge relentless.
That's a lot of U2s.
No one likes a lot of U2s.
In the space of a very short space of time.
That's a bit like iTunes, isn't it? U2 just sneak in there when you don't want it and you don't expect it.